let's say thank you once again all for coming. Today, I would, being that it's getting close to Pesach, so I would like to turn our attention to halachos that are pertinent to the Yontif of Pesach, and specifically to a very common question which comes up, namely the obligation of tzedikas chametz for a person who's going away for Yontif. We all know that obviously Pesach carries with it the great mitzvah that the Torah tells us, Tashbisu Zomi Batechem, that we have to eradicate all chametz from our homes. And as such, it involves a great deal of work. It probably does not entail as much work as the average Jewish housewife feels it does, but nevertheless, the people are machmir very much when it comes to Pesach. They clean through their whole home very, very diligently. And therefore, the question comes up, if I'm going away for Pesach anyway, so, you know, do I have to do anything? Do I have to do anything? Do I have to do Bedikas Chametz? Or can I just say, well, I'm not going to be home for Yontif? So if I'm not going to be home for Yontif, you know, what could possibly be the problem? I'm not going to be near the chametz. I mean, the fact of the matter is that we sell the chametz to a guy anyway. So you say, what could really go wrong? So this is something which I would like to speak about today: the halachos that are relevant to one who is away for Yontif. Now we have to understand a few things first and foremost. We have to understand that the mitzvah of bedikas chametz is a takanas chacham. This is a essentially held to be a din derabbanan. This is a decree that the rabbis made. And the reason why, you'll say, well, how could that be? I mean, the Torah says you have to get rid of your chametz, so what does it have to do with the rabbanan? This is a basic halach in the Torah. So the answer to that is the Gemara in Maseches Pesachim tells us that essentially, midoraisa, the bittul ba'al masag, that it would be enough, really, min haTorah, for a person to simply be mevatel chametz, for a person to say that I disassociate myself with anything, with all my chametz, I don't want to have anything to do with it, I renounce my ownership, and that alone would be good enough, because the prohibition of having chametz on Pesach is to own chametz, right? There is no iser on chametz on Pesach to see chametz per se. You know, Torah says, "Bal yeroa lo yeroa locha chametz." You should not see chametz, but that has to be understood what the pasuk means. If you're walking down the street on Pesach and you pass by a non-Jewish bakery and you see bread in the window, you're allowed to look at it. Right? It's not, there's no iser per se in seeing. You don't have to remove, you know, if you have a magazine in your house that has a picture of cake on the cover, you don't have to burn it. Right? The prohibition of seeing chametz does not mean that. It doesn't mean that. Okay? There is, by the way, an iser of touching chametz on Pesach, that even if you don't need it, right, that is something that is true. A person is not allowed to come in physical contact with chametz. However, to just simply see the chametz is not a problem. So, if a person were to sell their chametz, if a person were to renounce the ownership of their chametz, so the Gemara tells us that really that would be enough, because the chametz is not mine. Whatever chametz is theirs is not hefker. Tefker, it's not my chametz. I'm not responsible for chametz that belongs to nobody or that belongs to somebody else. I'm only responsible for my chametz. I've renounced ownership of my chametz. Nevertheless, that is not good enough for halacha l'maisa, because of the fact that the chachamim came and made a decree, an enactment of bedikas chametz, that a person cannot just do that. A person is obligated to also go ahead and search out their house and get rid of the chametz, right? And this would also be true even if a person today, we do mechiras chametz, right? In other words, there are three ways, really, to get rid of chametz. The three ways are, you could do bittul chametz, you renounce your ownership, or you could do bedikas chametz, you could physically get rid of all your chametz, Or that way you have no problem, I got rid of all my chametz. Or you could do what's commonly done today, which is not so discussed in the poskim, because years ago it wasn't so relevant, and that is mechiras chametz. Right? To sell the chametz to a guy. And we spoke 2 years ago about the mechiras chametz was not a big issue, was not a big deal until the 18th century, because of the fact that in the old days people didn't have preservatives and you didn't have refrigeration, and therefore the chametz that a person had, it wasn't such a big deal to get rid of. You know, you couldn't have boxes of spaghetti because of the fact that there weren't preservatives. You need something to keep it from going rotten, from molding. So therefore the whole inyan of bedikas chametz, of mechiras chametz, and especially the mechiras chametz the way we do it, which is that you're selling the chametz and your intention is that you hope to get it back after Pesach, is really a relatively recent innovation which took place, which began in the 18th century when Jews were forced, due to the fact that they were discriminated against in Eastern Europe, so they were prevented from having jobs in a lot of the jobs that people would like to have, and that they were relegated to certain pursuits, and one of the things that they were forced to do was to become tavern owners. That was a very big business for Jews, that they would, it was a dangerous business because they would sell, they would have bars, and you know, the goyim would come in and get drunk and go get wild and often take it out on the Jewish owner. But the less greater, because there was no choice, so Jews were forced into that line of work, and it's at that time that mechiras chametz became a very big issue, because a tavern owner has large supplies of chametz, all his whiskey and beer, so in situations like that, that's when it became very common. So today, it's by everybody. Everybody does some form of mechiras chametz. So we have the three ways to get rid of the chametz. Nevertheless, bedikas chametz is something that a person must do. And the reason, this is where the Takanas Chachamim came in, and there are actually two reasons given in the Rishonim why one has to do bedikas chametz. Right, one reason which is given is because, as we could all imagine, if I would ask anyone off the top of your head, why would you think that you should have to do, why would bittul chametz not be enough? So the answer is because if you have the chametz in your house, you may come to eat it. Even if you renounce your ownership of the chametz, but you're so used to eating it. Right? Chametz is the most unique isser that we have in the Torah because it's mutter the whole year. Right, everything else you're not allowed to eat. You're not allowed to eat ever. Right, you can't eat bas v'chol ever. You can't eat chazer ever. But chametz, you could always eat. It's only on Pesach. For 8 days, you can't eat chametz. So the Chazal say, lo bedili minei, people are not separated from it. It's not built into our system that you shouldn't eat chametz. So therefore, a person may come to eat it. And as such, the Chachamim said that you have to get it out of your house. That's one reason. The other reason that's brought down, in the Rishonim is, is that there is a concern that if a person is going to do bittul, that if a person is going to just renounce his ownership, so if he has a large amount of chametz in his possession, he may not renounce his ownership sincerely, because in his heart he doesn't really want to renounce the ownership of so much money. And therefore, if he doesn't do it sincerely, the bittul chametz may not take effect because he doesn't mean it. So therefore, for these two reasons, the Chachamim enacted that you have to do bedikas chametz, and that impacts directly on how we observe Pesach. Right? So for this reason, we have to try very much to go through to get the chametz out of our homes. We have to get the chametz out of our homes, even people who sell chametz to a guy, but it has to be put away and locked up in a place where you're not going to easily come to get it, because of the fact that we have the concern that you may come to eat the chametz on Pesach. This is the decree of bedikas chametz. Now, it happens to be that really the halacha of bedikas chametz only applies in a place where you bring chametz, in a place where you bring in chametz. But in our time, and therefore theoretically, a person could say, well, all right, so I'll get rid of the chametz. I don't have to check my whole house. I'll just check my dining room or my kitchen, etc. But why should I check the living room? Why should I check the bedroom? Why should I check the study? So in our times, the poskim unanimously say that the style of eating is different. People eat on the run. We eat on the run constantly. And therefore, we bring chametz into every room of the house. There is no place. You bring chametz into the garage. You bring chametz into any imaginable place. I mean, if you know for sure you never bring chametz into a certain room, then you don't have to check it. That is true. But generally speaking, we hold that in every room, min hastam, every room is subject to bidikas chametz, because we're constantly, you know, eating. The world isn't as regimented as it used to be. Today you can talk on the phone and eat a piece of cake while you're driving, and then, you know, with the third hand you're driving, you're holding the steering wheel. What's that? That right, exactly right. And so too in the house, you know, people, we walk around, so therefore we have the obligation to do bedikas chametz in all the rooms. Now, so the question presents itself, what happens if I'm not going to be home for Yontif? So if I'm not going to be home for Yontif, it really, you would say that there shouldn't be a problem, because especially if I'm doing a mechiras chametz also, which we all do, I sell my chametz anyway. So all the chametz is going to go into the possession of the goy before Pesach, safely into his possession. So therefore, you really should have one would think there's absolutely no reason to check for the chametz. I mean, why should I? As far as that I'm going to come to eat it on Pesach, that's not possible, because I'm not going to be home. Right, so I'm going to be away. I'll be by family. I'll be in a hotel, wherever. I'm not going to be in a place. I'm not going to be in this house. I will not come to eat it. And as far as the insincere bittul, so again, I sold my chametz to a guy. So even if the bittul wasn't good, but the fact is that he has it anyway. In other words, every person should absolutely say the bittul chametz. But the fact is that we sell our chametz to a guy also. So therefore, as a safeguard, today we're very, you know, we're backed up. In other words, we have layers of security. In addition to the bittul chametz, you also have mechiras chametz. You sold the chametz to a guy. So therefore, the case should be made that one should not have any problem. Well, forget it. No, nothing to do. Okay. Nevertheless, there is a halacha, halacha which is one of the remarkable halachas that we have in the Hilchos Bedikas Chametz. And that is that, and unfortunately it's not on the sheet, but the Shulchan Aruch tells us in the beginning of Siman Tov Lamed Vav, I apologize, I did not give him the right marmakomas to the person who made the sheet. So, I mean, we'll get to the ones that are on here, but there were some that were omitted. So the Shulchan Aruch says, based on a Gemara in Maseches Pesachim, that if a person leaves his home within 30 days of Pesach, even though he's not going to be home on Pesach, but if he leaves his home within 30 days of Pesach, zokuk livdo, he still has the obligation to do bedikas chametz. Okay, this is what it says in the Gemara, and this is codified in the Shulchan Aruch, that a person who leaves within 30 days has to do bedikas chametz. Now, why is this? So the Mefarshim explain, the Mishpura quotes it, the Mefarshim say that if it's within 30 days, so then the mitzvah, the takana that the Rabbana made of Bedikas Chametz takes on a life of its own. Meaning that if the Bedikas Chametz was just a question of a practical matter, right, that, in other words, before the Rabbanan came along, so if a person wanted to check, wanted to fulfill the mitzvah of Tashbisus Armi Batechem, of getting rid of the chametz from his house, so then as a practical matter, you would search your house, get rid of the chametz, and finish. But now that the Chachamim made a takana, that even, that a person must always do a bedikas chametz, so it became a mitzvah to do bedikas chametz. And once you're within 30 days of Pesach, so the Mefarshim tell us that since we have a klal that Shol and Vidarshin, Behilchas Achag, Shloshim Yom, Kodem Achag, since we have a klal that within 30 days of the onset of a Yontif is already, at least of the major holidays, let's say Sukkot, Pesach, is already considered the Yontif season, It's already the Yontif season, right? As we know, you can't buy chametz in any of the kosher stores anymore. They're very scrupulous in this law. They get rid of all their chametz already before Purim, right? So the fact is that the season, the time period of Yontif is already 30 days before. So therefore, we are told that once you're within that period of time, so the laws of Pesach in a certain sense are activated. And therefore, the mitzvah of bedikas chametz that the chachamim made apply in such a situation. And therefore, even though a person is going to go away, so he'll say, it's ridiculous, I'm not going to be home, so I'm not going to come to eat the chametz. I mean, what am I doing this for? The answer is that once the chachamim made this mitzvah, that there's a mitzvah to do bedikas chametz, that became a mitzvah. It became a mitzvah to do bedikas chametz. And as such, if I go before 30 days, so then I'm not in the season, so the mitzvah sort of isn't relevant yet. But once you're within 30 days of Pesach, so then the mitzvah of bedikas chametz already is upon us. And as such, if a person, according to the Shulchan Aruch, if a person is going to leave home before 30 days, even if he's not going to be back, he still has the obligation to get rid of the chametz from his house. Now this obviously would be devastating to anyone. This would destroy the hotel industry, right? The hotels for Pesach, because the whole idea, one of the reasons why people, major reasons obviously, people go away for Yontif, is to avoid the very, very great burden of getting rid of chametz. Right, it's a tremendous job. Today we have larger houses than Jews did, centuries ago, generally speaking. And therefore, and because of our style of living, we end up having to do bedikas chametz in every room, even the closets. And you have a closet, a clothing closet, you still have to do bedikas chametz, because oftentimes you have kids running, young children running around the house, makes it that every room is susceptible to chametz, right? And even without that, sometimes the person will stuff a sandwich in his pocket or whatever, or something like that, therefore you have to always check all these places. So if this is left untouched, it would come out that going away for Pesach would solve only, it would make it easier in the sense that all the cooking for Pesach would be alleviated. That would be true. You go to somewhere else for Pesach, that would be easier. But the act of cleaning, which is I think the number one concern of people, would still be there. So this is what needs to be investigated. What can we say for a person who is going away for Pesach to deal with this obligation of Shloshim Yom Kodem Hachag, the enactment of the mitzvah of Bedikas Chametz? Now, go ahead.
Can you do the bedikah on a hotel room or something like that?
Okay, we'll see. We'll get to that hopefully. So let's see. So now, but even so, whether or not you could do bedikas chametz in a hotel room, first of all, just for the record, would only help if you were in the hotel room the night before Pesach, which most people aren't. In other words, most people arrive, I don't think the hotels allow that, right? The check-in for hotels, I believe, is on Erev Pesach itself. So at that point, that's really past the Zman Bedikas Chametz, that wouldn't help. If you were going away to a family member, then theoretically, you're not a socher. So then you don't have the obligation of Bedikas Chametz either. In other words, if you rent a place, there is a question, I'll address it. There is a question if a person rents a hotel room for Pesach, whether they could be Mekayim Bedikas Chametz, whether they have a Chiyuv of Bedikas Chametz in the hotel room. And that is questionable, but if you're not there the night before, the general practice is that people don't do it, you don't do anything, you come in, you rely on the fact that it was cleaned out, and as far as I know, that's what people do. So what can be done in this situation? Now the truth be told, if you observe a little bit what goes on here in our neighborhood or in the South Florida community in general, where we have many people who come for the winter and, go for the winter months, they spend here in warm Miami, and then they go back up north wherever they live. So if you have the snowbirds, as they're called, so those who are tuned in to this halacha generally make a point of going home before Purim. Right? If you ever noticed that in the neighborhood here, if you did a census, right, of the amount of Jewish people in North Miami Beach, the number will go down the week before Purim because the snowbirds are slowly but surely making their way out of here. And the reason for that is because that's the Purim is Yud Daled Adar, and that's 30 days before Yud Daled Nisan, which is the day of the Chametz. So therefore, if a person is out before Purim, they would avoid this problem. They wouldn't have any question. But that only helps if you have a situation like this. But if you're going to a hotel, you're going to a relative's, nobody is going to, it's not going to happen that you're going to leave a month in advance. So what can be done in this area? So the halacha that people generally rely upon, or the people, what we like to rely upon is the following. In other words, if we're going to come up with some heter, how exactly are we going to remove this obligation of bedikas chametz if you're going away right before Yontif and you're within the season, you're within the 30 days before Pesach? So the case would be made that, well, what I'll do is I'll sell my whole place to a guy. And if I sell my whole house to a guy, so then it's not my house. It's not going to be my house. On Pesach, it's Bechal. It's not my house. I'll sell not just my chametz, but I'll sell them my entire. Right, selling the chametz is not necessarily good enough because that only applies to the chametz that you have in the closets and so forth. But what about the stuff I have under different locations, under my table, this and that? Right? So I'll sell them everything. I'll sell them the whole house. The whole house is yours. Okay? And in that sense, when Pesach comes, at the onset of Pesach, so it's not my house. As such, it's not my problem. This is the thinking that exists that would make it that one should not have to do the bedikas chametz. So this idea, this concept was already discussed by the Gedolei Achronim, whether that would be good enough. And this generated a very major dispute amongst the poskim, whether such a plan would be sufficient. And two of the great Achronim and the more recent Achronim from the 18th century, so we have the from the author of the Sefer Chayodim, Rav Avram Danziger, who Sefer Chayodim, very well known, basic Sefer, and also Rav Yaakov Elisa, the author of the well known Svarim, Nesivus HaMishpat, Chavis Das, Makor Chaim, two of the great Gedolim of the Achronim, were opposed to this plan. And the reason why they were opposed to this plan was for two reasons. They said, number one, the problem is because when do you sell your chametz to the guy? You're selling the chametz to the guy, the rabbis all sell the chametz on Erev Pesach, right? They pretty much wait to the end of the time that you could have chametz, okay? And that's when the mechiras chametz takes place. You wait till every last person comes in to authorize them to sell the chametz. So certainly the chametz is being sold on Erev Pesach. It's not being sold the night before Erev Pesach. And therefore the point was raised that, well, that means, when is the mitzvah of bedikas chametz? The mitzvah of bedikas chametz is the night before Pesach. Well, the night before Pesach, you still have all the chametz, and you still have all the rooms. And therefore, even if you're going to go ahead and say that, well, I'm selling my whole house to a guy, but when the mitzvah of bedikas chametz hits, you still have it. So what does it help that the next day you're going to sell it, but le'es ata, but right now I have the chametz in. When the mitzvah comes, the mitzvah of bedikas chametz is not on Erev Pesach by day. Right? You're not supposed to. The truth is, if a person forgot to do it at night, you could do it by day. But essentially, you're not supposed to do it in the day because in the daylight it's hard to search. hard to find the chametz. It's better to do it with a light, you know, that one could focus on the specific places. So therefore, when the mitzvah of bedikas chametz takes place at night, you still have the chametz. That was one opposition that they had. Yes.
How is that different than if I'm going to stay in the house and I have one room that I put all my chametz in and then lock it up?
That would be included in this discussion, right? In other words, even the room you're going to lock up, you'll say, well, all right, but right now I still have this. I still have. I still have the room. I haven't sold. Nothing's been sold yet. It's all my possession, right? All the action with the big deal that takes place of Mechiras Chametz takes place on Erev Pesach by day, but the night before I still have the Chametz. So that's one issue. That was one basis of opposition, meaning that you still have not removed the mitzvah. The mitzvah, the chiyuv of bedikas chametz, is going to hit you. It's going to hit you because even though you've gone away from your house, it could be you left your house. You say, "Well, I left my house 3 days before Pesach." But nevertheless, when erev Pesach, when the night of bedikas chametz hits, it's still your house. So even though you're not there, you can't run away. We have to understand, you can't run away from the chiyuv of bedikas chametz. Meaning you can't say, well, all right, I'm going to fly out of town, and now the mitzvah of bedikas chametz comes in, too bad, I'm not home, so there's nothing I could do. Right? Because that's not so simple. The poskim say that if you tried that trick, you may have to go home. You may have to go back and that's not good enough. You know, if theoretically that happened, the person could ask one of his friends to do it. You don't have to do it yourself. You can make a shliach. But the fact of the matter is that's not good enough. So if you have the chiyuv of bedikas chametz, you have to do it. So that's one opposition. The second opposition which they raised was that how do you know for sure that you're going to succeed in finding a guy to sell it to? In other words, you know for sure you're going to have someone that you're going to be able to sell it to. You're going to attempt to sell your house to a guy. You're relying on a possibility. In other words, most likely you'll say, well, I'm confident I will. But it's not guaranteed necessarily that you will. And therefore, the Makar Chaim and the Chayodim both raised the point that, in their opinion, if a person has the chametz in their possession on the night of the 14th of Nisan, they're obligated to do bedikas chametz, even if they're not going to go away for yontif, even if they're not going to be home for yontif, and even if they're planning on selling all of their rooms to a goy. Yes.
If a person sells his house or business to a goy,
right,
does he have to have the das to give it to a goy if he wants it? The guy says, I want your house now, it's mine.
Yeah.
I want your business, it's mine. When he's selling that,
yeah.
He said, go opposition and back. I have to give my house.
Yeah, yeah, that's in order for the sale to be valid. I mean, what they do is, in general, as we mentioned in the past, you should never really try to do bedikas chametz on your own. It's for various reasons. We have capable rabbanim. The rav should always be the one to do it because there are a lot of little details, the kinyon and the types of the kinyon. Not every kinyon that works by a Jew works by a non-Jew. And also, it has to be done in a way, since it's essentially being done as a, you know, on the one hand, it has to be a legitimate binding business deal. On the other hand, we're all counting on getting it back. So it's what's called a harama. It's a little bit, what we're doing is just trying to beat the system. That's clearly the Mechiras Chametz that takes place by us today. Right, we're just trying to beat the system, which is fine, it's allowed, but the fact of the matter is that for that reason, you need someone who knows what he's doing. In other words, and what they do, they put in the shtar that in case the guy wants to claim it, he could claim it, but then he has to pay for it, you know, so often it wouldn't be worth the guy's, you know, I never heard of a case. I mean, I know there are stories that go around, but I doubt any of them are really true, that the guy, you know, came in on Pesach to take the chametz. It could be, but generally speaking, it's not going to happen. So the shaila is, so what do we do? So what do we do in this situation? So if you look here on the sheet, page, it's marked off number one. So the Mishnah Brura in the end of Siman Tav Lamed Vav, the Mishnah Brura brings down this discussion. And if you pick it up here from the third line of the Mishnah Brura, he says, Hachadarim shebedaita l'machron l'machr l'nachri. In my chametz shalem. Does a person have to do bedikas chametz on rooms that he's going to sell to a guy? So he quotes first the naysayers. He quotes the achronim, the makar chayim, and the chayodim from the gedolei achronim who say that a person does have to do bedikas chametz in that case. But then he brings down, if we skip down to the second wide line, he says, Omnam b'tshuvas binyan olam simen chav cholin, that in the tshuva, in the Sefer Shaul's tshuva's binyan olam, he disputes the ruling of these achronim, and he says, he's not the only one, that others, Tzemach Tzedek, says it, other gedolim say it as well, that they disagree, and they say that they go through both arguments. They say as far as the first argument, which is that at the time of the Bedikas Chametz, you have the Chametz in your possession, so they dispute this and say that may be true, that you have the Chametz in your possession, but Bedikas Chametz is really part of the larger mitzvah of Bir Chametz. In other words, when we do Bedikas Chametz in our homes, if you haven't noticed, it's a very interesting thing, the bracha that we say on Bedikas Chametz is surprising. We don't say Hashem Yisrael Mitzvosov Tzivonu Al Bedikas Chametz. We don't say that. We say Al Bir Chametz. Right? Why? Because the searching for the Chametz is not an end in itself. Searching for the Chametz is a means of getting rid of it. So the mitzvah is getting rid of it. Simply locating the Chametz is not enough. You have to get rid of it. And since the mitzvah of getting rid of Chametz is on Erev Pesach, that's when we burn the chametz, right? Nobody burns the chametz by the deepest chametz, right? We don't. Oh, look, I found some stuff. Okay, I'll take it out to my yard, and I'm going to burn the chametz, right? We don't do that because the mitzvah of Tashbisu Sormi Bateichem, the Gemara says, is essentially on Erev Pesach, right? So therefore, that's when we fulfill the mitzvah. So therefore, the Binyan Olam and other Achronim say that even though at the time that the mitzvah hits, you have a chiyuv of bedikas chametz, but since when the bir chametz mitzvah is relevant, I will not have it. So therefore, the main thing we're concerned about is when the deadline hits, when the deadline of having chametz before Pesach hits, are you going to have it then or not? Because that's really the issue of beer chametz. You have to get rid of the chametz, right, by the deadline. So as such, they argue that I won't have it by the deadline anymore. It'll be gone by then. And thus, even though at the time of the onset of the mitzvah, bedikas chametz is still in my possession, nevertheless, it's no problem because of the fact that it will not be in my possession at the time of the bir chametz, and therefore, even though there is a mitzvah to do bedikas chametz, right, even 30 days before, right, there's a mitzvah to do bedikas chametz, but the whole point of bedikas chametz is to ensure that I'm not going to have chametz for Pesach, and I ensure that because I'm going to sell it. It's all going to be gone when Pesach begins. I'm not going to have chametz. I'm going to be covered. So therefore, on this basis, they argue would not be a problem. And the second, as far as the second point, which is that maybe you're not going to find a guy to sell it to, so this gets highly technical, whether such a chashash would be valid. This is disputed a lot in the Achronim, the fact that there's a chance it may not happen, but I assume it will happen. But by us, certainly, it's not a concern because of the fact that we have every Rav sells chametz, he has a standing relationship with a guy, and this is, you know, arranged well in advance of Pesach, that they have their person, right? There's a Rav, I know, one of the Gedolei Rabbanim in New York, who happens to have a very unique situation because he sells a guy, he sells his chametz to a guy whose name is Tony Macaroni, and thus he's mekayim a special hider mitzvah of selling chametz to a guy whose name is chametz. But the fact of the matter is that it's true, by the way. But not that it's a mitzvah, but that's the guy's name. But the fact is. That we could rely on the fact that we're going to have a guy, and therefore that should take us off the hook, at least according to these achronim. So now you'll say, all right. So now what? Where do we go from here? So you have the shittas that say yes, and the shittas that say no, right? So it's a machlokas. So it's a machlokas in the poskim. So what do we do in a situation like this? So the Mishnah Berurah here adds something. He quotes several shittas in the Achronim, and he brings down, ultimately, I'm not going to, in the interest of saving time, the Mishnah Berurah says that really this can be made a lot better if a person fulfills the Bedikas Chametz at least to a degree. And that is that since there are those who say the central argument, really the key point over here is that since at the time of the mitzvah of Bedikas Chametz, I still have the Chametz, so therefore the mitzvah, the chiyuv of Bedikas Chametz applies to me. So if it applies to me, so then I should have to do it even if I'm going to sell it the next day. So to deal with this, the Chasam Sofer and others say that the solution would be to leave out from the mechira to the guy one room, meaning that I'm going to do bedikas chametz, but I'm going to do bedikas chametz on one room in my house. I'll pick one room. That room, in other words, I'm going to say when I go to the rabbi to arrange for the mechira chametz, I'm going to tell him, listen, this is my plan. I want to sell not just my chametz. I want to sell the rooms. I want to sell the rooms also. Rooms in my house. I'm going away for Pesach. I'm not going to be home. Nobody's going in there. I want to sell all the rooms in my house. However, one room I'm going to retain. Not the chametz. The chametz also. But the room itself I'm going to retain. And in that room, a person could do bedikas chametz the night before Pesach. And in that way, you got the best of both worlds. Because I did do a bedikas chametz. I have a mitzvah to do bedikas chametz. Fine. So I did bedikas chametz. I did bedikas chametz in this room. What about all the other rooms? So for all the other rooms, I relied on the fact that I was going to sell them to a non-Jew. But the case could be made that, but still, if everything's said and done, a mitzvah you have a chiyuv mitzvah of the rabbis made a takan of bedikas chametz, and therefore you have to fulfill the mitzvah of bedikas chametz somehow if you have the chametz the night before Pesach. So therefore, the solution is that one room I'm going to do bedikas chametz, and a person can choose any room that he wants. You can take the easiest room, obviously. You're not going to take the difficult places, but a person could take even, let's say, a small bedroom or a small whatever area, and say this part I'm not selling to the guy. This I'm not selling, and in this room I'm going to be mekayim the mitzvah of bedikas chametz. And the Mishnah Berurah comes out that is really what a person should do. That a person who's not going to be home for Pesach should arrange such a plan that I'm going to sell all my chametz and all the rooms in my house. Right? Of course, you can't sell the rooms in your house if you're lending out your house to somebody else for Pesach. Right? So then you don't have this option altogether. If somebody's going to be in your house for Pesach, then you have to. Somebody has to do bedikas chametz, right? Because the reason for bedikas chametz is that somebody, they may come to eat the chametz, so they may come to eat the chametz if they're in the house. So I'm not discussing, this would not be relevant in a situation where you're giving someone your house for Pesach, but assuming you're not doing that, I'm just going away. I'm going to lock up the house, goodbye, right, and go into a hotel, have a nice yontif, and I don't have to deal with it. So the Mishnah Berurah comes out that the correct thing to do in such a situation would be to go ahead and at least retain one room that that I could fulfill the mitzvah of Bedikas Chametz in. This is the psak of the Mishnah Berurah. Now, the fact is that I don't know that this is what is commonly done by everybody. The truth is there are Rabbanim who rely on the lenient opinions and say that even if you didn't do this, you don't have to do Bedikas Chametz. In other words, there are, I believe, people that say that, and there are a lot of people that just go with the attitude that, all right, goodbye, I'm leaving, and that's it. But the Mishnah Berurah, quoting the Achronim of this, and mainly the Chassam Sofer, says that a person in such a situation should really try to fulfill Bedikas Chametz in one room. This is what he says. Then he comes out and says, but there's something you can do that's even better than that. Because even this plan with the one room Bedikas Chametz still leaves open the problem that what about all the other rooms? So all the other rooms, you're still getting involved in a machlokas because there are the Makar Chaim and the Chayodim both hold that it's not good enough, that the heter doesn't apply to anything. Because since at the time of the mitzvah, you have the Chametz in your possession, so you have to do it. So there are people who will tell you that, you know, maybe this isn't such a great solution either. So what some people do, which I don't know if it's done here, but I know it is done now, it's very, very common now in New York that it's done, is that there are rabbanim who do what's called a mechiras yud gimel. Mechiras yud gimel means that they sell the chametz to a guy, not on Erev Pesach, but the day before, on the 13th day of Nisan. On the 13th day of Nisan, the day before Erev Pesach, they do a special mechira that they sell. This helps also people who are going to Eretz Yisrael, you know, where the issue is because of the time zone problem, so the chametz will still be in their possession when it's sold on Erev Pesach. But people sell a special sale of chametz on the 13th day of Nisan. If that was done, then, if you are home, and let's say you're going to a hotel for Pesach, and you're not going to Erev Pesach, but when the night before Pesach, when Bedikas Chametz hits, it's all been sold. It's all been sold. Right now you'll say, but wait a second, but if it's all been sold, so how can I stay here? If I sold the rooms in my house, how could I stay in the house? So that would be a question that if one were to pursue this, you could discuss with the rabbi who's doing it. But it certainly would help if you're going out of town and you leave before Erev Pesach. In other words, certainly if you're going to a family member, which very often, any out-of-town travel, very often for Pesach, you're not going to wait till the last day. You go a day in advance. So then certainly, you're not going to be home. I'm out of the house already a couple of days before Yom Tov. And my chametz was all sold on Erev Pesach. So therefore, when the mitzvah of Bedikas Chametz hits on the night before Pesach, I have nothing. I have nothing. My house was, it's not my house, it's my house. So that, the poskim say, is really the best thing. So therefore, to summarize, there are three options what a person could do who's going away for Pesach to alleviate the burden of Bedikas Chametz. Right? Nobody is really interested in cleaning the house of Pesach even though they're going away. So there are three options. The best option would be to arrange a Mechiras Yud Gimel, that the Chametz should be sold before the night of Bedikas Chametz. And that way it's gone. I don't have to deal with it.
But you need to say that to the rabbi who's going to make it.
Yeah. He has to do it on the 13th. It used to be rare that people did this, but now it's become very, very common.
Why don't they just always do it on the 13th?
They don't always do it on the 13th because everyone wants to still eat chametz until the 14th. In other words, people eat chametz down to the wire. So therefore, you know, the truth be told, if you turn over, you know, today people turn over their houses for Pesach, you know, well in advance of Erev Pesach. So you could do that more easily, but nevertheless, you know, people like holding on to, you know, one last bowl of Cheerios, one last piece of cake, you know, well, even if it's the house is chametz free, but I still want to be able to eat the chametz. So therefore, this is the best thing. If you could arrange some sort of mechiras yud gimel. If not, if a person is going away for Yom Tov, the second choice would be that tell the Rav that I want that in the shtar that when you're selling my chametz, you're selling not just the chametz in my house, but you're selling all the rooms in my house. You're selling everything. So therefore, anything that's anywhere, it's all gone. It's all sold to a guy. And a person doing that should at least, I mean, that's true even on the 13th, but if you're gonna wait till the Erev Pesach, the Eitzah would be to leave over one room in the house that you could at least do B'dikas Chametz in that room. And you could pick the easiest room. You could take the easiest room as long as it's some sort of area that requires B'dikas Chametz. It could be a hallway, it could be a foyer, it doesn't have to be an official room. You know, that when they count the rooms in the house and the listings of the real estate, it doesn't have to be counted as a room. It just has to be an area that commands, that calls for B'dikas Chametz. That would be the second thing. And the third thing, which I believe is done, but it's already more of not the simplest thing because it gets involved in the machlokas, would be just to rely on the lenient opinions and say that, well, you know, I'm not going to be home and it's going to be sold to a guy, and when this man comes, it's not going to be mine. And even though this is said by the Binyan Olam and others, but nevertheless, there were the Goli Achronim that were not in favor of this. So this is commonly done, but it's somewhat controversial. So therefore, it's better if a person could avoid this. So this would be the three things that a person can do is going away for Pesach. I just want to conclude this discussion by saying there are two other differences in halacha. A person going away for Pesach, if you're going to do B'dikas Chametz, now let's say you're going away more than the night before Pesach, right? So this would apply even if you're going away 3 nights before Pesach, right? If you're going out of town, I myself, I'm going, my family, to New York for Yom Tov, so I'm going before Shabbos HaGadol, I'm leaving already. So it's going to be about 4 days before Pesach, but nevertheless, this idea, the Shaila, any time within 30 days, you have this issue. In other words, if you do what the snowbirds do and leave before Purim, then you have nothing to worry about. Then, no problem. I'm not going to be home. I'm leaving. It doesn't matter. I'll sell all the chametz to a guy. Goodbye. I'm leaving. Okay, that would be the simplest thing. But if you're not doing that, if you're going to be within 30 days, then there really is no difference whether you're leaving the night before Pesach or 5 nights before Pesach. It doesn't matter. You still have the obligation to do something, unless you're going to rely on the lenient poskim. If you're going to do this thing with the one day, the one room B'dikas Chametz, so you still have to do it even 5 nights before Pesach. So one should be aware that in such a situation, anytime you're going away before Yom Tov, the bracha of B'dikas Chametz is only said the night before Pesach. It's only said the night, no matter what you do. Even if you say, I'm going to do B'dikas Chametz in my whole house. I like doing it. I want to be machmir. I don't want to rely on any coolers. I'm going to do B'dikas Chametz even though I'm going to a hotel for Pesach. Even if you're one of these, a person who feels that way, you never ever say the bracha on B'dikas Chametz unless it's the night before Pesach. Okay, that's one thing that a person has to keep in mind. And the reason for that is because the bracha is al bir chametz, the bedika. The whole idea of bedikas chametz is that I'm going to locate my chametz, and then as soon as I get it all together, when the time comes, I'm going to get rid of it. But if you're leaving your house before Pesach, you're not separating yourself from chametz. You're still going to be actively involved with chametz. So there is no bir chametz taking place. So therefore, you don't say the bracha on bir chametz. The last point, the bracha is only said the night before Pesach. The other point I just wanted to mention is the great time-honored custom of putting out the 10 pieces of bread, right, which makes B'dikas Chametz so exciting, especially if your kids hide it and you can't find it, which happens to me almost every year. They spend a lot of time looking for, you know, places that no one would ever dream of looking to put the chametz, and it ends up taking me longer, you know, and they stand there looking, you know, like that's the way you do B'dikas Chametz. What's wrong with you? You know, you couldn't find it, but you only got 8. You're the one, we rely on your psak halach in this house, you know, what's going on. So the fact is, I mean, the truth is, it's not a joke. If a person puts out 10 pieces of chametz and doesn't find all 10, there's an issue because you have to keep searching until you find it, right? But it's worthwhile just as a practical thing. If you have this, that a family member hides the chametz for you, then maybe it wouldn't be a bad idea. They should write down where they keep it, because it sometimes happens that they themselves forget where they put it.
Yeah.
And then you have an issue. But the question is, do you have to put out the 10 pieces if you're going away, if you're doing B'dikas chametz, not the night before Pesach? So the it's brought the Ramah. I'll just end with this. The Ramah, if you turn over the sheet here, the Ramah and Simin Tafan, the base of base, the Ramah says, "V'nagin laniach pesisei chametz b'makom sheyimsem habodek," that the practice is to put pieces of chametz, in the place. You know, he doesn't say 10. That's not mentioned in the Ramah. That's a minute that's brought in the Mishnah Berurah. But the minute was to put out pieces of bread. Kidei shelo yehei birchaso levatolo. What's the reason for putting out the pieces of bread? The reason is, says the Ramah, so that the bracha should not be a bracha levatolo. Why? So presumably, because if you're searching for chametz, right? So you're not going to be successful in finding the chametz. So then, meaning there was no chametz to be found. Let's say you didn't come up with anything. So you said the bracha al bir chametz, and there is no bir chametz that's taking place. If you did such a good job cleaning in advance of Pesach, so there's nothing to be found. So what are you saying? I'm doing the mitzvah bir chametz. You're not doing the mitzvah bir chametz. There is no bir chametz taking place. This is the psak of the Ramah. Now in the Achronim, the Taz is very strongly disagrees with this and says not true, that one would be fulfilling the mitzvah even if he did not find any chametz. But whatever the case may be, the minhag of putting out pieces of bread is so that the bracha should not be a bracha vatol. So if, as we just said, a person goes away for Pesach, if you're leaving your house more than the night before Pesach, earlier than the night before Pesach, so anyway you don't say the bracha. Right? The bracha that we say when we do B'dikas Chametz is only said the night before Pesach. That's the only time you say it. Two nights before, not. Right? More than that, not. So if that's the case, so then there's no concern of a bracha of Atal. I'm not saying a bracha anyway. So therefore, the practice of putting out the pieces of bread, according to the Psak of the Ramah, would not apply to a person who is doing the B'dikas Chametz earlier than the night before Pesach. There are Sfarim which say that you should still do it. It's hard to know because the minhag of 10 pieces, which is from the Arizal, I believe, the Zapi Kabbalah, the idea to put out the pieces, so it's hard to know exactly what the reason for that is. So, but I believe that the consensus amongst most people is that if they're going away and they're doing the B'dikas Chametz more than the night before, they don't put out the pieces of bread. But if you want to do it, it doesn't hurt as long as you find them. But the big, you know, excitement, you know, today, Baruch Hashem, we have merited to see a time where one can even go into a Judaica store and buy a bag that has pre-made 10 pieces of chametz that you could put out, right, for people who get rid of all their chametz before Pesach, have nothing to put out for B'dikas Chametz, so they'll sell it to you. So the fact of the matter is that, you know, if you could leave that off your Pesach expense list if you're going away more than the night before Pesach. As I say, if you want to do it, I don't think that there's surely nothing wrong with doing it, but there would really be no inyan to do it. So this pretty much covers the halachas of a person who is going away for Yontif, and as far as the B'dikas Chametz goes, you have the three options that we said, and the person can discuss with their Rav what option would work best for them.